trained at the Rafael, and then he was there for questions and answers. And he was absolutely charming. And no one in the audience was, everyone was polite.
Yeah. But you didn't, that sense
but they were, and even though
did they give him a standing of the film an yeah. ovation?
Well, they gave him
they gave him an ovation.
No, but
and it was clear.
Did they clap
no,
after
was
the
polite.
Film? Did they clap after?
It was not a huge thunderous applause. And
but there was a
Myro was completely silent.
Oh.
not clapping. Oh. I mean, they were strangers to me. I had no influence on that.
You took the lead.
We're talking about the film Tetro. Crescents are Mark.
Sandy.
Steve.
Lenore.
Mary didn't see the movie.
Brenda didn't see the movie.
Susan.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us what it's about? Just your little
sentence. Oh, God.
We are. Really. let's see. It's about this crazy guy whose name was Tetrachini, and he's changed his name to Tetro.
His last name was Tetrachini.
Who, and he's living in Argentina with an Argentine girlfriend. Is she Argentine?
Yeah,
I think so.
And his brother showed, his younger, his 18-year younger brother shows up wearing a uniform that looks like he's in the Navy, and he's going to stay with them. But it turns out that he works on a cruise ship.
And they have engine problems for a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay. And so Tetro locks the door to the bedroom and doesn't come out, and his girlfriend takes good care of the younger brother and welcomes him and wants to make him welcome. And the rest of it is supposed to be...
then there's also the thing about that the young boy carries around this letter that his older brother wrote him saying,
I'll come back for you.
I will come back to get you.
Benny, I'm sorry I have to leave like this, but...
Because the father is a conductor who's a total asshole to his sons and also to his brother, who's also a conductor and taught taught him everything he knew. The successful conductor father learned everything he knew from the brother.
From his brother.
Yeah, and... At a certain point, you realize in flashbacks that the father had stolen the girlfriend of the eldest brother, and married her, and that supposedly is the mother of the younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not supposedly; it is the mother of the younger brother. I'm not going to reveal the...
The father stole his son's girlfriend and married her and had a kid with her.
But it turns out she was already pregnant.
She was already pregnant with his brother.
It's
okay, so we have a Chinatown moment.
Right,
yeah.
Yes. Chinatown moment.
Yes, but the father's not sleeping with his daughter. That's
Terrence's
daughter.
Right, so it is different.
It is a film that is infantile. As my sister-in-law said, it's like he just discovered that there's such a thing as symbolism. And it was so stereotyped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crazy guy, the girlfriend, you find out in flashback, you learn everything in flashback.
His stories, like little film clips of the brother is reading the guy's stories, and then it goes to color of the stories.
But it's black and white, isn't it?
The one interesting thing that Coppola did say is that they shot in HD digital, not on film, and that they shot it in color. And then in the lab, they pulled the color out, and that's how they got the crisp black and white and the variation of grays. It looked really beautiful.
That was the one thing I liked. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it had
really gorgeous.
The whole film had flavors of Fellini running all the way through.
Now, I think that he was trying to make a Fellini film.
That's what I think.
But he was failing to make a Fellini film because it was so cliché. It starts out, you're in La Boca in Buenos Aires, and the first time the younger brother is taken out by the older brother, and the woman on top of the balcony is cutting up the clothes of the guy that's down here, and he's saying,
No, it's a Armani,
don't do that, and she cuts it up and she throws it down, and then she throws down his guitar, and he's, not the guitar, that's the guitar, and I just thought, it's the same part. It plays as total stereotype. I mean,
I think if you've never seen a Fellini film, you might not feel it.
If you've never seen a film before.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you have to have seen Fellini to hate this film the way that you do.
I started to say that he fails at making a Fellini film because he's trying, he thinks, I'll do a little Fellini here, but what he really was trying to do was to do a Powell Pressburger film, and all the references to the Red Shoes and Tales of Hoffman and the showing of clips from those, and they are cooler British filmmakers who use a lot of crazy symbolism, but not like Fellini. And he just didn't make up his mind when he was writing the screenplay whether this was going to be a Fellini-esque film or a Powell Pressburger film. And it just, it didn't hold together, and the characters were completely unbelievable. That the girlfriend was his doctor, and she falls in love with this crazy guy who's clutching this handwritten backwards manuscript to his chest, and he has a gun, and his hair is like this, and he won't speak, and she stops being a doctor.
She's a psychologist.
But she's a doctor. Right, all right.
But
she stopped being that to move in with him and take care of him.
Okay.
And she
didn't like it.
She falls in love with him.
Did anybody else find anything redeeming?
Did Mark like it? I forgot what you
just
said.
Just it was a beautiful film.
I liked the black and white. There was one image of the film that will stick with me forever, where the young boy's just got into town, it's night, and he's walking through these deserted streets, and there's this white banner floating in the wind, and he has to make his way past that banner.
Oh, yeah.
That image, I don't know if it's worth seeing the film, but...
but wait.
There, later, when he's driving to Patagonia to the festival to pick up an award, and they're driving to Patagonia, and there's the scenery in black and white is completely amazing. And they're all driving together.
So it's a travelogue.
Right. Again,
no. Well,
the only thing you can say is
that
it's beautiful, then it's a failed film.
Yeah. If it's just visually beautiful and nothing else.
Did you see it?
No.
No, we're curious. You saw it.
I was just totally curious what she said.
Oh, because you also thought.
I'm like, did I miss something wrong? Or I'm going to go to my phone room and get that straight.
I didn't like the casting of the younger brother. He just looked like Leonardo DiCaprio and acted like Leonardo DiCaprio, who I didn't think can't act at all.
Did you see Blood Diamond?
Yeah, I did.
And you still don't think he can act?
Yeah.
Okay. I have another prejudice about this film. The young actor actually, the people who went to this movie with me turned to me and said, "That looks just like your son." So he had. So I was a little predisposed to like
the
younger brother.
I liked him. I thought he was.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim. She's my friend.
I like your friend. Again, the only thing you can find to like in the movie was the problem.
No, I thought that the acting of the younger brother.
Beautiful, like they did.
What did you think?
She fell asleep.
I was really tired.
But Sandy was about to say something about the acting.
I thought that the younger brother was good, and that the woman, the girlfriend, was good. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really hard to watch, what's his name, Vincent Galley.
I thought it was really hard to watch alone. And there's this character, eccentric female, rich woman named, who called herself Alone. Is that over the top?
She called
that
herself Alone. It was so overwrought. That's what
it was just overwrought. It was like something from the 30s.
It was like a student film. It was like
having read what, you know, he's like excited that he's done with these big, huge budgets and, you know. And
he feels like
he's starting, though, over. But the last one, which I guess nobody saw, was his first.
He said two people saw it.
Youth Without Youth. Was the first one. Again, used video. Lower budget, way lower budget compared to what he's done.
And it got terrible reviews.
And got bad reviews. And at this one, the reviewers are saying he's found his footing a little
more. On Rotten Tomatoes, I looked it up, he got 62%.
That's pretty bad.
Right. And the top critics was 66%. Mm-hmm. And I think if you read the reviews of the ones that gave him a positive tomato, it was a pass.
Yeah.
It was a pass. You know, it was like... Oh, some people say that the film doesn't work, but we're not talking about a film working here. We're talking about my friend, for instance.
No,
I mean,
that last scene, you know, or that whole last scene where he's getting the award.
The axe!
Yeah, the axe!
Where did the axe come from?
Kill your father, then. If that's what you think of the last scene, I'm your father, so kill me! I'm like...
What?
Yeah. Right. So are we finding out that this great filmmaker doesn't have a thought in his head anymore? Yeah.
Well, I think that there's something about that he's so big that he thinks that he doesn't have to have anybody give him feedback on his screenplay before it starts shooting.
Yeah.
And I mean, it must
be. Or people are too afraid to give him feedback.
No, he wrote and directed them the whole. With all of this, okay.
It's like what he's even said. I don't know if he said student film, but it's like a beginner's film. That's what he's trying to get at.
Is there a plot?
Like
is there a story?
It's definitely deep and rich and. That's all it is. Deep and rich and.
Intense. It's intense.
It's intense, that's what it is. Mm-hmm.
It's over the top intense.
Yes.
There's no... Yes. You never feel like you believe... The characters are not believable.
You're not on it.
They're
you
not
don't care about them.
Right. How does somebody lose it, that?
He becomes too full of himself, probably.
Well, my sister-in-law said that she thought that maybe he should... Just
make wine now, huh?
Yeah.
Just
well, that's
wine.
How he said.
I think this could have been a good, or at least okay film, if the acting had, well, maybe the screenplay. Screenplay had something. The screenplay had something to do with it. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Vincent Gallo was trying as hard as he could to save.
Oh, but I think you can be a good actor, but good directors make good actors great actors in a movie. And I think that, you know, that's part of what went wrong with his film. But the screenplay was not.
Kurosawa said that you can make a great film if you have a great screenplay and a mediocre director. But you can't make a great film if you have a great director and a mediocre screenplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, finish the thought. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm jumping to something else. So, can those of you who saw it tell me, like, what was the relationship of those people at the end? Because I was a little confused. So I thought that the older brother was saying, I'm your dad.
Yes.
You know, yeah. My dad stole my girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Got her pregnant.
No.
No.
She was already,
okay. She was already pregnant.
That's what I'm confused about.
Well, the older brother is the father of...
Oh, right.
And then how did she get into a coma? How did the...
Maybe I'll see it on video, and I'm thinking, no.
Another thing, Vincent Gallo kills... No, he doesn't kill his own mother, but he's driving the car when there's an accident, and his own mother dies.
Yeah.
Which also
he didn't
puts him in, you know, also...
He feels guilty for the rest of
yeah,
his life.
Yeah, right.
And that, and his father's reaction to it is to not like him.
And his mother, his girlfriend looks remarkably like his mother.
And doesn't something happen to the younger boy's mother?
Yeah, well, she's but
in coma.
In dialogue.
She's in a coma.
But in dialogue, you'll find out that she's still alive, but she's in a coma.
Because
but
he's you now one of, another one of his movies.
We don't know. What?
Because he saw another one of his movies.
And then, so Coppola has the nerve to say, well, first of all,
yeah, so what was the
you can ask
what
me.
Were
have,
ask
yeah, what was yeah. the Q&A?
He... Well, there weren't very many questions. He said, I'm totally open. There was thunderous applause when he came and a standing ovation for him.
For him,
yeah. Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm it's so nice to be at a theater that's so close to home. And, and so close to George Lucas and my friend. And then he said, I'm totally open to having you ask me any questions about the film, anything, or about any other film. I'm happy.
We're speechless.
Can we talk about another film?
Right, and people did ask about other films.
I'm sorry, what happened?
People did ask about other films. And he just kept talking so that people didn't have, he just kept filling the silence. And he did refer to, he did talk about how
so
he
nobody
wanted,
asked?
No, some people did ask questions, you know, that were ass-licking, you know, that were, how did you do the black and white, you know, can you speak about the cinematography, can you...
That's no content when people ask questions.
And he also, before anyone asked a question, he said that he wanted Matt Dillon to play the character that Vincent Gallo, and Matt Dillon wasn't available, and so he asked Vincent Gallo to come and spend 5 days with him in Buenos Aires, and he did, and he talked about how Vincent Gallo has this reputation of being hard to work with, and that he didn't find it that way at all. And what else did he talk about? I mean, he just kept talking and talking, and then a few people asked questions.
You think he got it?
Oh, I think that he knew ahead of time. I think. I mean, he's probably been reading the reviews.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He probably knows that he got 62, a failing grade on Rotten
Tomatoes. Probably, is Rotten Tomatoes like the best movie review website?
No. Because as Sandy said, something can get like a 90% and then you read it and it's lukewarm.
Oh.
But
well,
it's good enough to get a thumbs up or thumbs down.
No, the reason that I like... No, the whole review is there.
No, the reviews are there,
but,
of course.
But the reviewers either give it a yes or a no.
Right.
And then... But the reason that I like Rotten Tomatoes is not for that so much as that you can go to that website and find a lot of reviews of the same movie.
Okay, gotcha.
And they do have a section called Top Reviews.
Oh, okay.
Because tons of people are on there who just have a website, you know. But if you go to top reviews, you get the New York Times, the LA Times.
Oh, okay, that's good to know about.
Yeah, so it's just an easy way to check. But the numbers can be very misleading because everybody can be kind of lukewarm and something will get like a 90%. So you have to read the reviews.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah, I was glad that I went, and I was glad that I saw him.
Did anybody ask about the Godfather movies? I'm just curious.
What can you say? I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, those are some of my favorite movies. So.
Yeah,
they're some of the great movies of all time.
Yeah.
And the conversation even better.
Turn on the light.
The conversation?
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Sandy?
Oh, he did talk about the conversation.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Who did that?
Gene Hackman.
Okay. I went to see this movie because Walter Murch was the sound person on this
movie. Right, well, there's enough.
And
I love Walter Murch and his work, but the sound work on this was... Nothing great, but it couldn't be within this film. You couldn't do anything outstanding. And in fact, when the music was there, it was so intrusive.
Oh, that was the first thing that I just...
So, Walter Murch...
Couldn't save the first buddy.
No.
Yeah.
I did. I had Walter Murch come to my class one time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What else has he done? The name's not familiar to you.
THX 1138. The sound montage
he's,
on that.
He's the sound. He's sound person. The conversation is almost as much his film as Coppola's.
Oh, okay.
Really,
that's right. It's about those guys that eavesdrop. They're like detectives or something, right?
Yeah. He also.
But the touch of when they redid Touch of Evil, he did it. I mean, he's just. A genius. Mm. And his book, he's got a book called Conversations.
One Blink at a Time, isn't it?
His book's, he's just very well spoken.
It was really nice having three movies.